Well, good morning. Good to see you all on this grey day. So we've been doing a series recently on encounters with Jesus, and this is going to be the last one, which works quite nicely because obviously we've got a lot of Christmas stuff coming up next month. So we've looked at various stories in the Bible about how people encountered Jesus and how it affected their lives straight afterwards. And then, as always, we take a lesson from there and try and apply it to our own lives, don't we, to help us how we live now. Today I'm going to do something slightly different. So the title for today is Our Encounters with Jesus. If I was to stand here and tell you about mine, it would be my encounters with Jesus, but you are the rest of the R. So be thinking if there's something you would like to share as I go through this. So our encounters with Jesus happen in different ways, don't they? Sometimes it's through something we've done directly. Maybe we have a specific prayer and we will see Jesus at work in our lives. Other times, we may be unaware that we're heading towards disaster of some sort, and something will happen that will divert our path, and we won't actually realize that we've avoided disaster until, hopefully, it's passed, and we can move forward. Like I say, we often don't see the Lord at work in our lives until after the fact. Sometimes it's quite obvious when he intervenes on our behalf. Sometimes it's not. I've actually asked a few people if they're willing to share with us this morning. So that'll hopefully start us off. And if you do wish to share and I haven't asked you, then please do put your hand up. I'll come around with a microphone because you don't want to come and stand up the front because it's quite scary. Although you're lovely, you know, standing looking at a group of people when you're not used to it can be a bit worrying. So if you've got something to share, 2 minutes-ish, maybe, just please do. If you feel you've got something longer you'd like to share, do come and speak to me, and we can actually share it as an encouragement to others via email rather than this morning. Otherwise, we could be here till gone past lunchtime, which nobody ever wants. Don't know why. Like I say, we're not after the deep revelations. These are encouragements to help us as we walk with the Lord day by day. Sometimes Jesus calls us to do a certain thing. We looked at Levi, come follow me. He got up, followed him. Sometimes he uses us to help further his kingdom by spreading his word to others, like the woman at the well. Sometimes he strengthens our faith, like he did with Peter. Sometimes he heals the centurion, his servant, and the blind man. Why am I doing this morning? And please don't, a lot of people are saying. But, and I read a bit from 1 Thessalonians. Now, brothers and sisters, about times and dates, we do not need to write to you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly, as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness, so that this day should not surprise you like a thief. You are all children of the light and children of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be awake and sober, for those who sleep sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us, so that, whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing and hopefully we are about to do. Now, I'm going to start by sharing point, I know I've shared lots of different things from my life about when Jesus helped me, directed me, guided me. I'm going to share, I don't think I've shared this one. There are many I'm thankful to say. But many years ago, when we first got married, we fostered because we had been blessed with a 3-bedroom house and we had been married for a couple of years. No kids had arrived, so we thought, well, we've seen about fostering in the paper, so we'll foster. Fantastic. After 8 years, we realised that actually we still hadn't had any children, so we better have a look into that. And we prayed, and I prayed to the Lord, are we going to have our own children? And it was like, yeah, definitely, you can definitely have your own children. I felt peace from this, felt really encouraged. And there's a bit of a, like the story of Jesus going to see Jairus with the woman who was unwell, because I actually, during this period, got a really bad virus and was signed off work and all sorts of things. And Kaneen went to her family group, and they were praying, and there was a woman there she'd never met before, was a missionary in Africa, it was only over for a couple of weeks. She looked at Kaneen and said, I can see you with your own children. We're like, oh, that's a bit. So that was Kaneen's encouragement there. But the reason I say about the illness, because I had this virus, and they prayed for me that night as well. Got up the next morning, right as rain. You know, and it's just seeing Jesus at work in your life in these amazing ways. And we were told we could not have children by the doctors. God knew better. I said I wasn't going to get emotional, but there you go. So now, as you know, we have 3. So he was right, they were wrong. God's encouragement better than what the medical doctors can do. So be encouraged that although sometimes situations may seem hopeless or useless, you can pray and the Lord will answer. Sometimes it's no, sometimes it's yes, sometimes it's just wait. And it will all happen in my time, which it did with us. That's me shared. I'm emotionally drained. Anybody else like to share? Kathy. So I say I have prepared some people. So.
Okay. I was really pleased that we played one of my old favourite songs, which is Teach Me to Dance. And I always tried to have a heart that listens and works with the Lord. So mostly I found it's fairly positive if I ask the Lord about something. But I did have one occasion where I wasn't quite sure. So I asked the Lord for a sign because my 2 daughters had passed scholarships for Mora House. And although they get half fees, I still had to find the other half for each of them. So it was a lot. And I was wondering whether I should remortgage my house. And it was a big step. So I wasn't really very sure. And I did pray and say, please, will you give me a sign? And that evening, I went to a meeting, which was for people who worked in schools and who also worked for the Lord doing things as well. And we were in little groups. And I overheard one of the ladies saying that she taught at Mora House. So my ears pricked up. So I went over to ask her, and I said, excuse me, I hope you don't mind me asking, but I've got this dilemma. I've got my 2 daughters who've got scholarships, but I've still got to remortgage my house to send them. Do you think it's worth it? And she said, yes, she said, do it. She said, it'll be the best thing you do for them. Even if you've got shabby sofas and a shabby house, she said, do it, which I did. I've still got shabby sofas and a shabby house, and I'm still paying off the mortgage, but it was the right thing to do, and one of them actually now works for the Lord, and she's a youth pastor, went to Oak Hill and everything. So, and they both work for the Lord in their way as well. So.
Thanks, Kathy. So we don't always see how the Lord's going to use the things that he asks us to do. Prime example, they're both now serving him and helping to further his kingdom. Fantastic. Yeah? Just checking my second person I had ready. Thanks, Patsy.
Unaccustomed as I am to public speaking. When Sophie was 12 years old, she joined the choir at Willingdon Church. A young curate, Christopher Lovelace, joined the church at about the same time, and he had a way of turning up unannounced on parishioners' doorsteps for a chat and a cup of tea. Very often, what you said to him on these occasions turned up in his sermon 2 weeks later. On one occasion, he arrived with us, and I had to take him aside and explain that my husband, Max, had just been diagnosed with terminal cancer. Christopher was an amazing support to us all, taking great care of the girls, and when Max could no longer make it to church, he came to the house to talk and bring in communion. Sophie was 14 and Emily 11 when Max died. A few months later, Christopher was given a parish in West Sussex and left us, and all was well for a time, but Emily was very angry with God for taking her father, to whom she was very close. She made some very tricky friendships, and when she was 15, I was out one morning with a friend when I came home, and Emily and several of her friends had emptied the drinks cupboard. My friend was a senior nurse at St. Wilfrid's Hospice, and she arranged bereavement counselling for Emily, which helped her very much indeed. Shortly after that incident, Emily helped a new girl at school find her way round, and she and Ruth became firm friends and still are to this day. Ruth's family had just returned from Tanzania, where they had been working as medical missionaries. Emily joined them, going to Holy Trinity Church and went to a teenage discussion group on Sunday evenings, led by Hazel and Tony Mottram. The youth leader took the group to Spring Harvest several times, and they had a great time, and Emily renewed her faith, which has remained strong ever since. There have been several occasions when people have come into my life when I have felt very vulnerable. And I've now turned over two pages, so I'll have to go back. Sorry, guys. Whoops. And looking back, it seems that this is when God has acted in my life. As it says in the poem Footprints, when there has been only one set of footprints in the sand, that is when I carried you.
Thank you. Is there anybody else who'd like to maybe share something with us as an encouragement? Lorraine.
In the 80s, my husband was made redundant after we'd spent 20 years near Ashburnham Place and been involved in that. And we prayed about this, and Mick said, you're going to have to take a full-time job. I'd done a course with social welfare and ended up actually being poached to go and work as a warden. And I worked in a huge block of flats. It was enormous. We had drugs. We had all sorts of things we had to do, ordering food and all sorts of things. Anyway, I only lasted there for about 11 months, got another job up in Croydon. And while up in Croydon for about 2 years, one of my sons said, Mum, there's a smashing job going down in Eastbourne. You've got to come back down here with us. We had two sons in Eastbourne at the time, one nursing and one working for British Gas. So we prayed about this. We said, Lord, you know, we're just going all over the place and we need to get settled. Incidentally, we'd actually gone to a church in Penge and they welcomed us with open arms and said, the Lord told us you were coming. I was involved with the worship group there as well. So it was a bit disturbing then to see that another job was coming up back down in Sussex. What should we do? We prayed about it. We said, Lord, right, we'll go for this interview. We'll go and have a look first. Anyway, the long short of it was, they said, right, if you're going to be the warden, you're going to be the maintenance man, what flat in what part of the building do you think you ought to be? And I actually said, number 8, it's near the front door, it's near the fire system, near the office, blah, blah, all the rest of it. So they said, oh, what a pity, it's already sold. So we went back to our caravan, which we went to at the weekends, and suddenly people were running around trying to find out where we were. Come quick, come quick. Apparently, they'd re-bought the flat off of the person they'd sold it to, and they'd put it by for Mick and I. We'd prayed, Lord, if you want us to have this job, you'll make flat 8 free, and that we will be able to move in there. And that's what we did. The Lord just opened the door. And then we came here in 91. Wasn't very happy when we first came here. The Lord said, stay where you are. That's where I want you. And here we are 20-odd years later.
Fantastic. Thank you, Lorraine. Anybody else like to share? There's lots of people looking away. Adrian?
Yeah, I'll just go. Took me back about 5 years ago, probably the lowest point in my life, I think, where I just felt that I was going to effectively lose everything. And I remember thinking at the time of just not feeling I had control over anything. And one of the things I tended to do up to that point was to try and have some control over my life, and it was a bit of a illusion. Early at that point, I remember a song coming on, I think it was a Christian radio station, which is a song by a band called A Plum, which is really the basis of the song is just talking about, I have nothing now, just hold me tight, as in asking the Lord to hold me tight. And it really sort of hit me then that I needed to let go of trying to control everything. And really from that point onward, because I knew I couldn't control what was going on for me at the time, I did. And it's been something that sort of stuck with me ever since, that you know, I can't control everything. I need to hand it over to the Lord. And actually it's been a huge weight lifted off of me. And although it's some time, it took over months and then years for it to really sort of see the full outworkings of what was happening. My life has just sort of changed completely from that point onwards, moving forward for the real positive. And that's nice.
Thank you, Adrian. Just goes to show it, the Lord's timing. And we can't control everything. Sometimes we can't control anything. So, anybody else? Paula.
Hi. Most of this year, I've been struggling hard for money. And yesterday, I learnt that a long-lost relative, stepbrother, has passed away, and we had some... My sister and myself, we've had ear hunters round because he's left us money in his will. So I thank Jesus just for... I don't know anything about it at the moment, but I thank the Lord that something has happened in that way to help me.
Yeah, praise the Lord that he answers prayers even when we don't know it sometimes. Anyone else would like to share?
So, from a long history of being a rogue as a youngster, for some unknown reason, God has always decided to keep up with me and be alongside me and be with me. So I really sympathise with Patsy's footprints. I've been very blessed through my life. I'm blessed with a lovely family, and I've been blessed with a lovely set of parents, as well as wife and children, etc. But he always makes sure that the situations I find myself in, he's got a different plan to the one that I think is the right one for me. He's constantly surprising me with people who he uses to set me on the right path. And one of the ones that really stands out for me was when Flora was due, we were told that that she could potentially be Down syndrome. And it was devastating because, you go through all these scans. We'd been through two already and, we thought it was just normal stuff to go ahead with. And suddenly this came up with us. I went into my work the next day and I was obviously not in the right place. And a guy called Pierre Jean-Jean, who was a Frenchman, who was one of my bosses at the time, came in and said, what's wrong? I mean, this guy never stopped at my desk before. And he said, what's wrong? And I told him what happened. And he said, well, my eldest son is Down syndrome. And we then just unloaded on each other. It was absolutely lovely. He just helped me understand how it's not the end of the world and things like that. Unfortunately for me, it didn't end up with Flora being Down syndrome. The very next scan that we had, the scanner said, well, I don't know what they were talking about. There's nothing wrong. there were lots of people praying for us at the time. The biggest thing that I learned from it, though, and what God was teaching me, was that there's something beyond this workplace and all of the effort that I was putting in at work. And I had to start focusing on my family a little bit more, because it was all about commercial and earning money and getting the biggest house and getting the biggest car and all those sorts of things. And it completely changed what I wanted to do with my life. And God always does that, and he surprises me every single day.
Thank you, Ian. Anyone else?
I was at a stage in my life where I stayed in a domestically violent relationship because I was told that was the right thing to do. My parents had pretty much planned my whole marriage with him, along with his family. They were all close, and that was just how it was, the kind of Christianity I'd been brought up with. I ended up getting away from that situation, and I'd been confused about who I was as a person. I thought I was doing the wrong thing by being who I wanted to be. And then I said to God, like, please, God, give me a sign. Like, am I being wrong? Like, should I just go back to being what I was being told my whole life I should be? And then I rocked up in a new job, which I was actually terrified about, kind of thinking, what should I do with my life? And Lizzie was there, and she was Christian, and from there on, I felt like that was a sign that I could carry on how I was. And then we turned up here on our wedding anniversary, and I was terrified because every single church I'd been into had like been like, oh, you can't be who you are. And Kaneen came and talked to me, and she was so welcoming, and I just felt like that was our sign that we were doing the right thing.
Thank you. It's amazing how God uses us as we are and for who we are, not for who we think we should be. This goes with what Ian was saying as well. We have these plans, and Adrian, we try and control. We have plans. We think it's all going fine. God laughs at our plans. You know, you think that next week you'll be doing this. I'm a qualified electronic technician. You'd ask me 20 years ago whether I'd be standing in front of a congregation of believers talking about my faith. Yeah, right. Go back even further. When I was at school, I didn't know the Lord at all. So, like I said, I've shared these sorts of things with you before. Don't be afraid, even on a personal level, to share with people, because it's amazing the encouragement we can get from each other. And when we're built up and we're strengthened in what we believe, it flows out and others can see that. And they want to know why we are who we are. And then we can talk to them about our Lord and Saviour who died for us. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to sing our final song. Thank you again to all those who've been willing to share this morning as well. Like I say, on a personal level, if you ever want to share with other people, then yeah, just be encouraged to do that. Lord, we thank you that we can come before you, that we can share in the way that you've helped us individually, the way you've helped us as your people. We just ask that you continue to guide, to continue to strengthen, help us to rely on you fully in all things, that we can praise your name and show your love to the world around us. Just ask for your continued blessing on each and every one of us, and we ask this in your name. Amen.